Well, at this time, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our special guest speaker. We're so glad to have Dr. Bill Patterson here to preach the Word of God for us tonight. He's the president of Mount Abiram Baptist Missions International, the president and general director of the Bethesda Children's Home, and a Bible translator who is translating the scriptures for many people groups and is also training a new generation of Bible translators. And he and his dear wife, they are members here at Worth Baptist Church, and we have the privilege to be their sending church. He preached a powerful and practical message this morning, and I'm excited about the message that God has laid on his heart for tonight. So I hope you have your Bibles ready. I hope you have your hearts open, and Dr. Bill Patterson is going to come with a message from God's Word.
Thank you, Pastor Dillett. What a blessing to be here at our home church. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 28. Matthew, chapter number 28. Matthew 28, we'll begin reading in verse number 18. When the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead, the most powerful event that had ever occurred in the existence of humanity, to which people could personally be a part of and identify and see and experience. He did not go on a circuit promoting himself and his power, but rather there was one theme. There was one message. That message is repeated in each one of the Gospels. That message is that you and I have a great commission to take the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, to every person on earth. Matthew 28, verse number 18, starts like this. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And here we are, 2,000 years after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Worth Baptist Church has come together for this week to ask ourselves this question: how can we better accomplish what God has commanded us to do? Tonight I would like to preach on the subject of how can I make a difference in missions? How can I make a difference in missions? Heavenly Father, I pray that you would guide and direct my thoughts as I preach over the next few moments. And Lord, I pray that you would allow us tonight to be able to understand very clearly what your purpose is for us personally and specifically. Lord, I thank you because you have a perfect plan for every member of Worth Baptist Church who desires to be a part of getting the gospel to the lost world. And so, Lord, please use us as your servants. May your name be honored and glorified, and may the name of Jesus Christ receive the honor that is due unto you alone. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. As you consider what you can do, perhaps some after the morning service felt like one lady who came up and spoke to me, and she said, Brother Bill, she said, I could never go to the mission field. My health is such that that's not possible for me. I couldn't even go on a short-term missions project trip. She said, what can I do? I said, wow, what a great question. Because that's what we're actually going to talk about tonight. What can all of us do? I'm going to mention two things that all of us can do. And then I'm going to mention one thing that I think God wants many of us to do. First of all, we need to make the decision to pray fervently. Make the decision to pray fervently. I didn't say make the decision to pray generically, unspecifically. I said fervently. Your missionaries don't need a prayer like this: Lord God, bless all the 218 missionaries that we support. They need specific prayer. They need you to go get that list of missionaries and start praying by name for them. If possible, pray for their kids as well. I don't know of a missionary anywhere who doesn't need prayer for his children. And begin to pray fervently. Pray that God would raise up laborers to go and work with them. Pray that God would enable them to have the power to overcome the spiritual darkness in the place where that they're going to be. Pray that God would provide for them financially. Pray that God would be with them every single step of the way. Because without God's help in their lives, they will not be able to accomplish the task that we have asked them to do. We sometimes think that all we have to do is to send them a monthly love offering and that takes care of everything. That's just the beginning. I believe that our greatest commitment to these missionaries needs to be a commitment of prayer. Where that we come alongside them in prayer day after day and we're leading them before the throne of Christ, believing that God is able to answer our prayers beyond what we can ask or think. Matthew chapter number 9, Jesus speaking to the disciples. As we heard the other night, when he saw the multitudes, he had compassion on them. He saw them as sheep that were scattered abroad. Did he say to them, raise more funds? Did he say, give more? No, he said, pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. I have a friend who is a missionary in Spain. This man went to that area of Spain completely alone. No one else was there at that time in the Basque country of Spain. When Brother Andy first arrived, there were no independent Baptist churches in that area. There was no one working in that area. He believed God had called him there. And I remember that he began to pray that God would send more people to help him. Today, there are 16 churches that have been planted in that area of Spain just in the last 25 years. And I believe that it was because God answered prayer by sending people to that area so that the gospel could be preached. When my uncle first went to the indigenous tribes in central Mexico among the Mixtecs, the Tlapanecs, the Nahuatl, and the Amuzcos, there was no one who was preaching the gospel. Not one single church in all of that area. Because of God's blessings now over the last 57 years, we have seen 105 churches planted in 105 villages. That is something that only God can do. Do not think that that's because the missionary was so wise as to know how to go about organizing and orchestrating this amazing work. No, that is an act of God. That is something only God can do. God is able to answer our prayers. God is able to change lives. God is able to meet needs. God is able to send laborers. God is able to do anything that he wants to do, but he wants you and me to be a part of it. That's awesome. And we get to be a part of it through our prayers. You may be listening by live stream from a hospital room right now. You might be stuck in a nursing home. You might be saying, there is so little that I can do. My budget is absolutely shot. I don't have anything to give. I couldn't contribute a single dollar to the missionaries this week. I feel like I'm a nobody in missions. You can still pray. You can always pray. And by the way, prayer is not the worst thing. It's probably the best thing that you can do. Number two. The decision to give financially. Now, the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse number 19, and we've seen so much about this week, but just as a reminder, God promises that he's going to supply our needs as we seek to meet the needs of other people. Tonight, you're going to witness firsthand what your missions dollars is going to do in the lives of these missionaries, and that is so exciting. I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to see their faces. I know what's going to happen, and many of you do too. That's why you're here tonight. But can I say this? There is a power in giving financially. To be able to give something and know that God is going to use that to meet a need in their lives that will enable them to go and take the gospel to people that you and I will never reach. See, the Bible talks about that. So many different places. As a matter of fact, this is amazing to me. Jesus spoke more about giving than he did about heaven or hell. That blew my mind when I figured that out. I thought, how on earth is that possible? You go and do the math and you read all the passages and you're going to see what I'm talking about. God is able to multiply our gifts. You think about this lad that we heard about the other night who brought his lunch to Christ. He gave it to Christ, and then all of a sudden, 12,000, 15,000, 20,000 people ate from one boy's lunch, and then they had 12 baskets left over. How does that work? Because God can use what we give to be a greater blessing than you can possibly imagine. And by the way, God is also able to supply our needs when we give. I remember when my wife and I were in India, we had been saving up our money because we hadn't been able to send it back here to Worth Baptist Church. We're members of this church. We give tithes to this church. We also support the missions project of this church, the missions offering. And so we had our money saved back, and we had several thousand dollars at that point. It had been a while since we'd been able to send the check. And I remember the time came, and we suddenly needed to move. We found out that we needed to move from a home where we were paying no rent at all to a place where we were going to have to spend $2,000 a month in rent. We didn't have the money. I had $3,000 in the bank at that point. And I thought, okay, well, I can use that money and we can more or less get settled into our new place, and then maybe somehow I can make it up. And that's what the devil was tempting me to do. And I felt like the Lord said, no, you better write a check and send that off right away. Now, this was back in the day where you couldn't send funds electronically. I remember I went down to DHL, which is the equivalent of like a FedEx or a UPS. I put that check in a DHL mailer, and I sent it here to Worth Baptist Church, having no idea what God was going to do. When I got back from the DHL office to my home, we're sitting in our house, and the phone rang. There was a lady on the other end of the line. She said, "Hello, am I speaking to Bill Patterson in India?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, this is Bill Patterson." She said, "You mean you can just talk normal on the phone to somebody in India?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Oh, wow." She said, "I thought I had to talk real slow." She said, "Are y'all doing okay?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Do you have any financial needs?" And I said, "Well, yes, ma'am, we do." She said, "Isn't that amazing?" She said, "I'm sitting here with a check I'm about to send to you." She said, "And I just wondered if they had any financial needs, if y'all had any financial needs, and I just thought I'd ask." She said, "I'm about to send you $8,000. I hope that'll help." She said, "Is it okay if I overnight it to your office?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, that'd be great." Do you really believe that God can meet your needs? See, sometimes God's going to put you to the test, okay? But there is great power in giving financially. Number three, the power of going personally. I don't know if there's anything like just actually going in person, sitting where they sat, talking to them. I'll be honest, the Lord has been extremely good to me. I've had the privilege of being in 61 different nations. I've had the privilege of being with people in some of the most remote areas. I've been in many different countries where I was the first white person that anyone in that village had ever seen. I've had the privilege of preaching in towns and in villages where the gospel had never been preached before that time when I preached. That is a huge, huge blessing. I have watched as we translated a single verse, and an entire village came together in the jungle, in the Amazon jungle of Ecuador. And ladies literally started dancing. They hadn't become Baptists yet. They didn't know that they weren't supposed to dance, okay? Two old grandmothers, probably in their 80s, and they were weeping, and they said, "For the first time, we have heard God's voice in our own language." What a privilege. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse number 51, Jeremiah talks about what it is to actually go. And he says, "Mine eye affecteth mine heart because of the daughters of my city." See, when you see it with your own eye, it affects your heart. Oh, it's one thing to hear stories about missionaries who go to different places, but when you've actually gone there and you've sat there and you've watched them and you see them and you say, wow. By the way, God is able to bless and use us when we go. Oh, man. You know, if anything we can learn from John chapter 4 and what I preached on this morning, that woman in Samaria who decided, I don't care about my past. I have a terrible past, but I've got a great future. I'm just going to go let people know about Jesus Christ and see what happens. And the whole town turns out and comes to hear Christ. That's awesome. God goes with us. He is right there with us. No matter what you go through in life, the wonderful thing is to know that Jesus Christ is with me. That's why he says at the end there of that great commission in Matthew chapter number 28, and lo, I am with you even to the end of the world. Amen. Amen. And so tonight I encourage you. How can I make a difference in missions? Well, through deciding to pray fervently, through deciding to give financially, through deciding to go personally. Heavenly Father, these have been some very simple words. Lord, I believe that your Holy Spirit can use those words and speak to individuals here tonight. And Lord, maybe there's someone who you've been talking to throughout this conference, and maybe they're on the verge of trying to make a decision conform to what your will is for their life, and they're struggling and they're not sure and they don't know if they really ought to or not. But Lord, would you give them the peace in their hearts to go ahead and make that decision and to trust you with the future? And Lord, I pray that you would have your will in all of our hearts. Lord, there's some here tonight that need to begin to pray fervently. There's others here tonight that need to be giving financially. But Lord, I'm convinced that there's some here that need to be going personally. And Lord, I pray that you would have your will and way in all of our lives. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, would you please stand to your feet? Our sister's going to begin to play a hymn of invitation as Brother Corey begins to sing. If God has spoken to your heart, I'm not going to try to issue some sort of a terrible plea and make you force you to come up. But if God has put something on your heart, would you please do this? Leave your place right now. Make your way to the front. Get on your knees before God and say, Lord, please help me to do whatever it is that God has put upon your heart. Pastor Gillett.